Hello, welcome to Strange Love of Movies. My name is Livia Martinez, and I am doing a solo pod today because this podcast is about an adventure that I went on all on my lonesome Sundance 2024. That's right, Strange Love went to Sundance. And this was the 40th anniversary of the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah, and Strange Love was there. We were in attendance, or I was in attendance, and really, I was there because I was volunteering, I'll be honest. Strange Love of Movies sadly was not invited to cover this festival. Maybe next year, hopefully next year, that would be amazing because I had an amazing time, spoiler alert. But this year I was volunteering with the press office and it was an incredible experience. I met so many awesome people, got to see so many films, got to go to so many talks, and just, oh my gosh, it's a magical place. I now understand the beauty of Sundance. I had dreamed of going to Sundance since I was in high school, and I always said, maybe one day when I'm in college, I'll be able to go. But logistically, it never really made sense because it's at the very beginning of the semester. But this semester, I am studying abroad, so I have some different times of when classes are starting and everything. So I was able to go, and it was such a blessing. And I thought that it'd be cool to recap my experience for all of you to listen to, and hopefully you can go to Sundance one day too, because it's very accessible, especially if you're volunteering. So first, I'm going to start off with how all this came to be, and then I'm going to jump into the films. So first, I'm going to explain how this whole Sundance volunteering situation came to be, and then I'll go into all the films I saw, which I saw 24, which was a complete accident. 24 films for Sundance 2024 works pretty well. You may think that's a lot of movies. Oh my gosh, some of the people I talked to were on movie 55 by day 10. Insane. That's literally double. More than double. Anyway, so how this all came to be was I was just looking into internship opportunities and other things film related in the winter because I have an extended winter break. So I thought maybe I should do something with that time. And then Sundance popped up and I was like, they take internships? And no, they don't. Or maybe they do, but I was far too late to even apply for an internship. But I noticed that they needed an extensive amount of volunteers. So I figured, why not apply? A week later, I get a response, then a phone call. Boom. I'm going to Park City. I'm going to the biggest film festival in the United States. I was really stressed out. It's really hard to get housing in Park City. That's one of the only flaws of Sundance. It makes it very difficult. And as a first year volunteer, you have to find your own housing, which is expensive and complicated. But I lucked out and I was on Facebook and asked around. And then I found this amazing group of journalists from the Bay Area, shout out Marco, and they let me crash in their condo, and it was a great time. I met so many awesome people, very different people than my usual crowd. They were amazing though, and they were so fun and just full of life, and oh my gosh, these people knew so much about movies. It was so fun talking to them because really I normally only have my parents and boyfriend, Tyler, friend of the show, to talk about films with, but these people were just, they were great. So that was a lot of fun. That worked out. I think that if my housing had not worked out, that would have made these 11 days miserable. Because yes, you heard that right. I was at the Sundance Film Festival for 11 days. It was tiring. By the end, I think I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. But while I was there, I was just having so much fun running around, living on tuna packets and ham and cheese sandwiches. I did not eat the best there, but it's Sundance. Everyone says like you can diet for 50 weeks out of the year, but the 2 weeks you're at Sundance are not going to be good for you. And I think that was true. However, I walked a heck of a lot and whew, the altitude got to me those first few days. Oh my gosh, it was a workout. So obviously my position was a press volunteer, emphasis on volunteer. So I did not get paid or anything like that. However, I did get some perks. I got 15 free film tickets, which is a lot. And then I got a few free meals and some snacks throughout. And then I got a nice Kenneth Cole jacket that's pink and gray. It's reversible. It was really cute. I got a really cute beanie. I got some like cool catalogs and magazines and all these things, some pins, all that stuff. So there were some nice perks. I also got treated with respect, which is something that I was honestly kind of surprised about because I've never worked in the film industry or anything adjacent to it. So I kind of expected the horror stories to be true. You know, everyone is self-centered and cares only about their success and is mean to you. But oh my gosh, everyone there wanted to give me so much advice. They were so helpful. It was so cool. So it was a really cool and nurturing environment. So now I think I've pretty much covered the background of my Sundance experience. So let's get to these movies. I will be telling some anecdotes in the middle of them because there's a lot to unpack. So I got there on a Wednesday and I was just, you know, doing some volunteer training and just getting settled in Park City. I went to Main Street, which is the main street, obviously, of Park City. And I had a $33 mini pizza. That was not fun for my frugal heart. And the pizza was not worth it. So from then on, I vowed to just eat stuff that I had grocery shopped, and I did a pretty good job of that. You know, I got some Mexican food once and some Chinese food, but other than that, I was pretty good at just sticking to grocery store food because, oh my gosh, I cannot do that. $33 a meal? Ugh. So then that Thursday, I saw a film, my very first film at Sundance, called Veni, Vidi, Vici, which is an Austrian film. And I was super excited about this. I had gotten on the wait list. How it works as a volunteer for Sundance regarding seeing films is there are two paths you can follow. Either you can go to a theater and get a volunteer ticket. Each theater has a different amount of seats, therefore they have a different amount of volunteer tickets. So the theater I was going to, the Egyptian Theater, which is the iconic, famous Sundance Theater, that one only had, I think, 10 tickets. So in that case, it's probably better to get on the wait list. And how the wait list works at Sundance, very stressful. I think, in my opinion, unnecessarily stressful. 2 hours before the film starts, exactly 2 hours, on the app, you can join the waitlist. But so is everyone else. So the app is always crashing. And, you know, on Veni, Vidi, Vici, I got number 2 on the waitlist, which was like super good. I thought I was so confident. I was like, ooh, I'm going to do this every time. I got quick fingers. But turns out I was just lucky because there were some films I got number 123. But I still made it in the film, and I'll explain how I did that soon. But for Veni, Vidi, Vici, I was number 2. I felt confident. But as a waitlist person, you have to get to the film in line 30 minutes prior. If you're 29 minutes prior, you don't get your spot anymore, and you go to the back of the waitlist line. And I was running out of my press shift, and I missed the bus, so I literally had to walk to Main Street. It was a mile and a half, and it was very sweaty, even though it was like 25 degrees outside. I was so sweaty because I was wearing a giant jacket, and I was just climbing uphill because, again, you're in the mountains. But I made it. I made it, and I met a really cool person in line, and we just chatted it up for those 30 minutes, and then a guy ended up giving me his ticket. So instead of me having to use one of my 15 volunteer tickets for this film, I was just given a free ticket, which was honestly really nice because, again, I was trying to like figure out how I don't use all of my tickets at once, because 15 sounds like a lot, but I know myself, I went alone. I had nothing else to do. All I wanted to do was see films. So I really needed to figure out a way to budget them. Or is that the right word? It's not the right word. I don't know. Just disperse them evenly amongst the days. So Veni, Vidi, Vici. It was mid. It was so mid. I wanted it to be good so badly. I was like, what if this is like the new Parasite or something? Like, because it's all about Eat the Rich. And oh, it wasn't. It sadly wasn't. It was beautifully shot. It had impeccable sound design. The people in it were really good. The cast was all there and the director were there for a Q&A afterward. And I really liked them and I liked what they were trying to say. But the film just fell flat. There was a narrator, which was unnecessary. The ending was predicted from the first scene. But, I mean, it did look really good. I will say that. The next day, I volunteered all day. And then I went to a Brittany Howard DJ set, which was really exciting for me. Brittany Howard is the lead singer of Alabama Shakes, which is one of my favorite bands. And her solo work on her own, I actually like more than Alabama Shakes. So I was so excited to see her. So I saw that show. And then I went to Steven Soderbergh's Presence, which is a ghost story told exclusively through the perspective of the ghost, which was really, really cool. It starred Lucy Liu and Chris Sullivan. Chris Sullivan is Toby from This Is Us. It was crazy to see him in something else. And then Julia Fox was also in this film. And I actually saw Julia Fox outside of the cinema taking pictures with people before I went in, 30 minutes before, because I was on the wait list. And so that was pretty cool. And it was just a really crazy film. Steven Soderbergh came out afterward and answered some questions. He's a very curt man, but he knows what he's doing. And he seemed like a cool guy. That next morning, I got to see this really intimate cafe talk that was in this cute little coffee shop with Andre Holland, who is the star of a film I'll be talking about shortly, and Steven Soderbergh. And then Richard Linklater was there at the end, and it was just kind of trippy to see all these masters talking. And it was a really cool, inspiring thing. Some people hate on Steven Soderbergh and say like, oh, he seems so mean or whatever. But no, I think he's just kind of a curt fella who knows what he wants and doesn't have to say a lot of words to get it. I mean, he's so prolific. He was talking about this film that I didn't even know about that is on Netflix that he shot in 13 days exclusively on an iPhone. How does that even work? Like, he's always doing something. He had this famous retirement speech. 3 months later, he's back to work. He was laughing about that. He made fun of it himself because he thought I was done, but turns out I wasn't. That's what he said. It was really funny. Then later that day, after I volunteered, I saw this film called Handling the Undead, which starred Renee Rinsby, who is the queen in The Worst Person in the World. So I was excited to see this. How I describe this film is a slow motion zombie film. That's all I'm going to say. It's pretty realistic. It's pretty weird, but it's pretty good. It was, I mean, a little bit slow for my taste, but man, I can really appreciate it. The shots in it are beautiful. The acting is amazing, and the makeup and weird design is crazy. So that was pretty cool. After that, I saw The American Society of Magical Negroes, which I was so excited for. This was one of those movies that I had read about, and I was like, I'm going to do everything I can in my power to see this movie. And luckily, I got to see it super early, and it wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. Like, it was actually pretty bad, which really depressed me. And I actually saw this film with a few of the people from our condo, and one of them, we came out of the film and he said, like, that was awful or whatever. And then the publicist came and stopped us and asked him why it was awful. And I panicked and I lied and said, this is going to be a big hit. People will love it. I lied. I'm sorry to that publicist because this movie just was not what it should have been. The premise is so cool. Basically, let me just read, like, I'll read the logline for y'all. Aaron is an idealistic young black man who's recruited by veteran agent Roger into the American Society of Magical Negroes. Aaron finds that working for the society, an ancient secret and magical organization dedicated to making white people's lives easier, is the most challenging and unexpected journey of his life. That's a crazy cool premise. That's such a cool satire. Like, there's so many cool elements to it. The first 20 minutes are so funny and good, but then it becomes this awkward rom-com and it's shot really not too well, and the sound design is really bad. It doesn't seem like, because this stars Justice Smith too, who's a big star. I'd really never seen him in anything, but it just doesn't seem like he's actually saying any of the lines in the film. It sounds like he like recorded them post, and it just looks weird. It feels weird. There's no chemistry between the two romantic leads. Sadly, it flopped. It flopped hard, and I was really sad by this. Something I also should mention is that both Handling the Undead and the American Society of Magical Negroes, I saw these films in what you would call a press and industry screening. So volunteers have the option to go to press and industry screenings an hour before the film, put their name on a list, and then wait. And then 5 minutes before the film, if there is open space, you can go in without using a volunteer ticket. So that's how I saw 24 films with only having 15 tickets. That was a really good hack I figured out very early on. I mean, I guess if you're listening to this and about to volunteer for Sundance, you should try that out too because it really helps. Maybe that's hurting my chances if I go back again, but I couldn't recommend it enough. The only problem with these screenings is that there is no Q&A with the director or actors afterward, but it's okay, especially if you're in a rush or trying to go to movies back to back. It really helps because most films on the Sundance schedule have a 3 hour chunk of time because of the introduction by the director, then the film, then the Q&A with the actors and the director and everything. So it just takes a lot of time. But with these press and industry screenings, I mean, a 95 minute movie is going to be a 95, actually it'll be a 97 minute movie because there's always a 2 minute Sundance intro where they're talking about how great they are, which they are, I'll admit, it was a great place. The next day was probably my favorite day of the festival. It was my Sunday, I had the day off, and I was dedicated to seeing good cinema this day. I woke up at 7 a.m. to get in the waitlist line for A Real Pain, which stars Jesse Eisenberg and is also directed by him, and also Kieran Culkin. And luckily, instead of dealing with the waitlist, which in the waitlist there's a probability that you will not get a seat, I went to the volunteer ticket line and was first in line for that and got a volunteer ticket. Therefore, I got to go in with the rest of the crowd who had already paid for tickets. And oh my gosh, A Real Pain is my favorite film of the festival. It'll definitely be on my top 10 list this year. It was phenomenal. So funny, so heartwarming, captured the awkwardness of tour groups so well. I don't want to say that much about it, but I cannot recommend this enough. I cannot wait for everyone I know in my life to see it, to be able to talk about it, to be able to reference it. It was such a good time. Jesse Eisenberg was there at the end and he was answering questions and he just seemed like such a nice guy. He really is. just how you'd imagine him. Kind of awkward, but clearly very intellectual and kind. And yeah, it was really cool seeing him. And I was just thinking Mark Zuckerberg the whole time, but no. I need to distance myself from that. He was a really great character in this. And the direction, man, the direction, you can truly see a director at work in this film, which I think is really cool for an actor turned director. Next, I impulsively saw this film called Good One, which was a first-time feature film from the director India Donaldson. And wow, this was a good movie. This was like so good and so witty. And oh my gosh, the tonal shift near the end is really incredible. She pulls it off so well. I really recommend this movie too. It's just a fun one. And then I saw Exhibiting Forgiveness, which stars Andre Holland, who I saw speaking to Steven Soderbergh the day before. And this was also a great movie. It was about an artist who is figuring out how to deal with his dad and his dad's shortcomings and kind of reconnecting with his estranged father, but not really wanting to. And oh my gosh, Andre Holland's amazing in this. I will say, if this is picked up by the correct distributor and marketed correctly, I mean, Andre Holland definitely could be nominated for an Oscar for this. I mean, it was that kind of performance. It was so good, so nuanced. He's something special. Andra Day is also in this film, which kind of freaked me out because I just remember her from Musical.ly being the girl who sang, "And I'll rise up," and you could duet with her. This was in seventh or eighth grade. And it kind of freaked me out, but she's a full-on actor. She was in the United States versus Billie Holiday. She's in a lot of stuff, and she was great in this. She's really beautiful, too. I was just shocked seeing her name at the end because I thought she was phenomenal. Also, the way that they capture the artist's journey and how he paints and stuff is amazing. And the director is actually known for his art more than his direction. And you can kind of tell. I bet he painted these paintings because they're really cool and unique. Finally, I saw the premiere for A Different Man. And this stars Sebastian Stan. And oh my gosh, Renate Rinsby is also in this. And it was really cool seeing her live, like in person. Sebastian Stan was also there. And then Adam Pearson also stars in this film. And it's directed by Aaron Schimberg. This is a crazy movie. I keep telling people it's like Beau's Afraid meets Elephant Man meets Birdman meets Face Off. It's crazy. I don't want to say that much more, but I predict that this will not be a hit per se, but I think that people who see it will like it or hate it, and it'll provide a lot of discourse, similar to Beau's Afraid. I'm glad a movie like this exists, and it was really cool seeing all those people live, especially Sebastian Stan. He's such a big star. I always forget why, because I don't watch the Marvel movies, but I mean, for me, he's Serena Vanderwoodson's boyfriend for 4 episodes in Gossip Girl. That's what I always think of. But yeah, it was cool seeing him. Oh, he's also in I, Tonya. He's really good in that. But he was amazing in A Different Man. The next morning, I saw Suncoast, which was... Okay, this is where I'm going to start my whole theory on Sundance films. Most of the films I saw were quality. Really, really good quality films. However, they're all airplane movies. And I talked to some other people about this, and they agree. These movies are the kind of movies that you don't know anything about. You see the poster on an airplane, you're like, oh, that looks kind of cute. You watch it, you cry, and then you just don't think about it that much more afterwards. And this was kind of when that theory began for me, because this film stars Woody Harrelson, Laura Linney, and Nico Parker, and it's really good. It's really well done. It's sweet, but there's just... Airplane movie. I can't explain it. Like, you'll understand what I mean when you watch this movie. It's a straight to Hulu release, which is a shame because it really is good and I don't want to get lost in the ether, but I think it probably will. Baby Ariel is also in this, which really freaks me out because, speaking of Musical.ly, I mean, she was an OG Musical.ly person and it was weird seeing her acting, especially as a high school student. I feel like she's like 26 now, but whatever. But that was pretty good. That night I saw In the Summers, which is another really good indie airplane movie. I'm sorry. This one, though, was really well acted. I was a big fan. It was about two sisters growing up with their father and just every summer going over to his place. And, I mean, it was shot well. There was a lot of heart. And, yeah, I'd recommend this film. I think it's really good. But, again, airplane movie vibes. The next day I saw Eno, which is the Brian Eno documentary. And oh my gosh, this is one of my favorite films of the festival. I loved this so much, not just because Brian Eno's music is kind of magical, and the interviews were so funny. I had no idea this guy was so funny. He just loves his art, and he self-deprecates himself so much, and it's just, like, so funny. But also, this is such a cool idea. I can't even really explain it. But basically, the film I watched is not going to be the same film you watch. It's not going to be the same film that the other people at Sundance watch, because every screening is generative and different. So AI generates which content you'll be watching, you know? So I saw a lot of stuff with David Bowie, but somebody who also saw this film at different screening saw a lot more with U2, you know? And oh, it's just so cool. It's hard to explain, but look into Eno. It's really cool. I don't know how exactly they'll handle it when it comes to streaming, but I think that this could, I mean, this is so cool. And who else, who is better to profile and do this kind of weird, absurdist experiment than Brian Eno? Seriously. Next, I saw Freaky Tales, which was actually the most popular film of the festival. They added two screenings of Freaky Tales because it sold out so quickly. I mean, the waitlist was like 300 people. Luckily, I got a volunteer ticket because I would not have made it on that waitlist. And this film stars a whole lot of people, but Pedro Pascal is kind of the main guy that people are talking about. And I don't want to say much about this movie. Let's just say there are four vignettes, and it gets crazier as it goes. I mean, keep watching, that's all I could say, because it drags a teeny bit in the second one especially, but it all comes to an amazing conclusion. Please watch it. Very Scott Pilgrim versus the World, very Quentin Tarantino, very David Lynch, just everything. Pretty crazy. The directors before the film started, it's Ryan Fleck and Anna Boden, who also made the film Half Nelson, which stars Ryan Gosling, which is a really, really good movie. And Ryan Fleck at the beginning of the film, before it started, said, you know, if you don't like this, there's something effing wrong with you because it's a great movie or whatever. And then afterwards, he came back and was like, Anna told me I needed to apologize. I'm sorry for saying that. But it was just like, the person who would lead their film with that is the person who made this movie. And I'm so glad it exists because it is crazy stuff. Next, I was starting to get really malnourished, but I felt like I needed to see another movie because I was already at this one theater and it's kind of far away from everything else. So I got in line and I got tickets to I Saw the TV Glow, which was another one of the biggest films of the festival. And luckily I got a ticket. I sprinted to the convenience store, which was right next door. It was about to close. It was 10 minutes before it closed. I got a sandwich, ate that sandwich, and felt so much better because I was getting shaky. It was, what time was it by then? I think it was like 9:45 and I hadn't had dinner. Bad idea, Olivia. But I saw the TV Glow is Jane Schoenberg's second film, and their first film was We're All Going to the World's Fair, which I was not a fan of. Alex G did the music for it, so that's why I watched it, and that's why I kept watching it, but I was not loving it. I saw the TV Glow is much better. Alex G also does the music for this. There's some other amazing tunes in this. There's some crazy musician cameos that I'm not even going to talk about. This movie stars Justice Smith, and it was weird seeing him doing this because he is so different than the American Society of Magical Negroes. I always forget the name, but he was very different than this. I don't think I love him as an actor, I'm going to be honest, but I thought he was pretty good in this. I don't know. I mean, I guess the role was meant to creep you out and freak you out, but it was kind of weird. And this is marketed as a horror film. It's not. It's really not a horror movie at all. I was not scared. I was just kind of uneasy. The next morning, I woke up bright and early again, went to a press and industry screening of Between the Temples, which stars my man, Jason Schwartzman, and Carol Kane. This is a great movie. It's really funny. It's really well shot. I think it's shot on film, and there's just so much heart to it. Highly recommend. I think this one will be a hit. Next, I saw Dee Dee, which I loved. It's an amazing coming-of-age film directed by Sean Wang, and it's actually really cool because the day prior to this, Sean Wang was nominated for an Oscar for one of his shorts, and there's a line in this film where the boy's mother mentions how one day he'll thank her for his Oscar, and our whole audience erupted in cheers, and Sean Wang was actually present at this screening, and it was just really cool to have that happen. I mean, it's just so special, and this movie is really special. I think it'll be a big hit. Hopefully the right distributor picks it up because people will like this a lot. I mean, it's so realistic, captures the awkwardness of adolescence so well. Next, this was special. I saw the 20th anniversary screening of Napoleon Dynamite, and I intentionally sat in the front row. Worst seats in the house, but I did this because the entire cast and crew of Napoleon Dynamite was there, so we had a Q&A after, and I literally was 15 feet away from John Hader and Pedro and everyone. It was so cool, and I actually got to meet them and talk to them, which was so fun. I had the amazing actress who played LaFonda take a video with me and tell my dad, why are you so sweaty? Because that's something we reference all the time. Which, speaking of, we're going to do a Napoleon Dynamite podcast soon. I promise. I got to meet John Hader too. And I got to tell him, like, you have literally brought so much joy to so many people's lives. And I hope you know that. And he seemed to be touched by that. Got a selfie. It was really cool. The next day, I got to see this movie called Your Monster, which I was obsessed with. I am obsessed with Your Monster. It's literally a rom-com meets horror meets musical meets drama meets every other thing under the sun. Like, oh, it's so cool. I don't want to say much about it. Please see Your Monster when it comes out. Oh my gosh. This movie was so much fun. I had such a good time. I then saw A New Kind of Wilderness, which is a documentary about a beautiful family in Norway who is kind of having to adapt to living a more normal life. A New Kind of Wilderness, it's a good title because it is a new kind of wilderness for them. I mean, they're used to being outside all the time, farming, everything like that. But soon things happen and they can't afford it anymore. And wow, it's an intimate film, but it's really good. After that, I saw Love Lies Bleeding, starring Kristen Stewart and Katie O'Brien and Ed Harris and Dave Franco and Jenna Malone. This movie was fun. It was insane. It was a little too crazy for my taste, probably, but I respect that they did it. This is another one of those A24 films like A Different Man that I don't think will be a hit. I mean, watch me be wrong, but I can't see it connecting with that many people, but I think the people that will see it will have a lot of fun talking about it. And it was really funny seeing Jenna Malone in this film with Kristen Stewart because my parents and I have always gotten the two, well, I haven't really, but they always say that the two look so alike or whatever. And the fact that they played sisters in this, I guess other people think they look alike too. That film ended around 1 a.m., I think, and I was tired. But the next morning, I had to wake up early again to see a film called Ghostlight because this was another one of my most anticipated films of the festival. And I'm so happy I got to see it. I got to see it at the Egyptian Theater. And this was my last full day at Sundance, so I was like, you know what? I'll wake up at 7 a.m. again for a movie, because, I mean, these morning movies are at 9 a.m., and as a volunteer, I have to get there an hour before, so 8 a.m., and I got to this one 7:30, thank goodness, because there were only 15 volunteer tickets, and I was number 12, and I'd gotten there an hour and a half early. But I'm so glad I got in because, oh, it was so good. It's a movie about a construction worker who decides to do Romeo and Juliet, and Romeo and Juliet starts paralleling his own life, and it's really emotional, it's really funny, it's really awkward, and the family in this film that it follows is actually a real family, and I think you can kind of tell because their dynamics are off the charts with just weird tension, and oh, it's really good. It's a good, good movie. After that, I saw this film called Sujo, and I did not like this very much. A lot of people liked this a lot. It won one of the awards at Sundance, which, I mean, Sundance gives a million awards away, but it won something big, and I was just not feeling it. Maybe because I was incredibly tired, but I will admit I fell asleep. I'm not going to say much more about it. I mean, watch this be the biggest hit of the festival. I don't think it will be, but I don't know. After that, I saw this really powerful documentary called Daughters, and this was the first film of Sundance to make me sob. I'm a big crier in movies usually, but I think maybe I was desensitized to just sadness from seeing, you know, 24 movies in a row. So I wasn't like feeling it as much, but man, Daughters, it's heavy. It's about a daddy-daughter dance program for prisoners. And oh my gosh, the directors were there and they were just telling us about it afterward. And even after the film, the audience was crying. And yeah, it's so powerful. I think everyone needs to see this film. After that, I saw another very, very late screening of a film called Love Me, which stars Kristen Stewart and Steven Yeun. It's really funny that there are two films in this festival starring Kristen Stewart that both have love at the beginning of the title. It's weird. But this movie was weird. This movie was not that good, but it was different than what I expected because everyone said it was slow and boring and at a bad pace. I wouldn't say it was slow. It was kind of boring, but it was also just weird and not very well done. I don't know how this movie exists. I don't think I'm glad it exists because I think there's so many other amazing things that these two actors could have been in that are better. But oh, it's so weird. I don't know how this got made. It should have been a short. Then finally, the next morning, right before I left for the airport to come home, I saw a Filipino documentary called And So It Begins, which is about the 2022 presidential elections in the Philippines. And I already knew the outcome, so I was kind of bored. And also, the documentary is not very well done. So it was kind of like, ah, yeah, it wasn't great. But I did recognize a few of the spots they were in Manila, which was cool. But yeah, I kind of ended Sundance on a not so great note, but I didn't really care because I saw so many good movies at this festival. I mean, I really think it was probably 20 for 24, which is a success. It's kind of ironic that the first and last of the films I saw were like my least favorites possibly, but that's okay. You know, you win some, you lose some. That's the beauty of film festivals. And I have made this incredibly long for you all, so if you're still listening to this, I appreciate you. Follow us on Instagram at Strangelove Media. Visit our website, strangeloveofmovies.com. Thank you guys again for listening, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. Bye!